The Women's World Cup final, a rematch between the U.S. and Japan, will transpire on Sunday. The stadium in Vancouver is expected to be full, but one significant personage will be absent, which brings us to the first of the three stories you should know, our weekly discussion of sports stories you might have missed. This week, our segment features George Vesey, author of 8 World Cups, and Rob Nyer, senior baseball editor for Fox Sports. Welcome to you both.
Great to be here.
My pleasure.
George, since I have already mentioned the Women's World Cup, and because it is your birthday weekend, as I understand it, why don't you go first? Happy birthday. Who is the VIP who has announced that he will not be present at the Women's World Cup final?
Well, of all people, the man who never missed a photo opportunity, Sepp Blatter, will not be flying to Northern America. Because of all his legal trouble, he has decided that he's going to stay close to home in the vault in Switzerland, in one of his numbered Swiss bank accounts. And as soon as I heard that Blatter was not flying over North American territory, I was reminded of the great movie, The White Knights, where Baryshnikov is forced to land in Siberia. He's a Soviet defector, and he lands in Siberia, and they bring him into Moscow or Leningrad or someplace and say, you know, how would you like to do us a favor for your old home country? And I could just see Blatter somehow landing in the United States on his way to Canada, and Loretta Lynch meeting him at the airport in Billings, Montana, and saying, would you like to come with me? I've got a piece of paper for you.
Rob, what do you think? Is the truth stranger than fiction in this case? Is this why Sepp Blatter is staying home rather than coming to Canada?
Well, I read a report somewhere that said he was remaining in Switzerland for personal reasons. And I think not being arrested is a tremendous personal reason. I mean, it's my favorite, actually.
I do have another theory about why Mr. Blatter won't be at the game. He didn't recognize Marta at a fairly recent award ceremony. He was once asked how to make women's soccer more popular, and his answer was, put him in shorter shorts. Now, this is a guy who hasn't exactly distinguished himself in terms of his knowledge or his enthusiasm for women's soccer. So I think even if he weren't in danger of being arrested, he might have found something that he'd rather do that day.
You're assuming that he has any kind of normal shame, but he has made a fool of himself in many ways. To be fair, under his regime, FIFA has expanded women's soccer. The Women's World Cup is now up to 24 teams, which leads to fun new teams like Colombia, England going further than it ever did before.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, George, because the tournament has been terrifically entertaining, as we anticipated. Rob, you're next. What's your story that you think listeners should know about?
Well, I think it might be the most interesting, if not the best story, this season in baseball, and that is Alex Rodriguez's career resurgence. Monday, Major League Baseball will announce the reserve players for this year's All-Star Game. Ken Rosenthal, my colleague at Fox Sports, argues that Alex Rodriguez belongs on the All-Star team. This would be an even better story, if only because of its unlikelihood just a few months ago. But, you know, I'm wondering, what do you guys think? Is he a worthy All-Star? Is he an appropriate All-Star, considering his history?
George, I'm going to let you answer that first. Are you among those celebrating A-Rod 2.0?
Well, coming from the Sepp Blatter view of the world, what's inappropriate these days? And if Alex Rodriguez is the best player on the Yankees, and I, from my Mets-centric retired point of view, I seem to notice that he is, I say he deserves it.
Statistically, I think Alex Rodriguez deserves to be there. There's little question about that. The only full-time DH with a better case is probably Prince Fielder, and I'm not sure it's better. But maybe we also should give him some credit, whether that's all-star credit or just good karma that we all sent his way, for having such a great year, such a great bounce back, such a great comeback. We all love comeback stories. This was a guy who was reviled in almost every quarter. Most people, including me, thought he'd never play again, or certainly not for the Yankees, and yet he's done everything right this spring and summer, said all the right things, kept his nose clean, hasn't made a big fuss about the $6 million that the Yankees might or might not owe him for catching Willie Mays on the all-time home run list. So I'm all for it.
The Yankees and A-Rod have now agreed that $3.5 million in bonus money should be paid to charities instead. And this is good, because I think it's fair to say that he's one of the few people on the planet who could find $6 million between the sofa cushions, right?
Well, I mean, he did forfeit many millions of salary when he was suspended for an entire season.
Okay, my topic seems appropriate to the 4th of July, or at least it does to me. At Daytona this weekend, NASCAR fans can exchange their Confederate flags for American flags. NASCAR has discouraged fans from flying Confederate flags, but has stopped short of banning them. Officials at Daytona said this week they couldn't outright ban the Confederate flags because fans had already purchased tickets for the event. One fan who chose to fly a flag this weekend told reporters, "We're not doing it for hate, but we do have rights." So has that fan got it right? Is this a free speech issue, or has NASCAR's response to this controversy been timid?
I think it would be a little dangerous to ask somebody who's already flapping a Confederate flag, you know, to give it up. But if you can educate or prepare to say, look, we're frowning on it these days, I would say it's a good start. Outright banning it, I mean, the guy has a point, free speech.
What do you think, Rob?
Well, it's not, I don't think it's technically a free speech issue because this isn't a government trying to ban something. There are t-shirts that you can't wear into sporting venues.
Right.
So you could theoretically do the same thing. You could get rid of the flags. And frankly, I think that's probably where we're headed. I just doubt if it's going to happen immediately. That would be a shock to everyone's system. It's probably 5-10 years down the road.
So you would go along with this rationalization, which is people have already bought tickets thinking they could bring their flags in, so we can't ban them now because then they would say, hey, we didn't know this when we bought our tickets.
No, that's a specious argument. Just because you can't bring your flag doesn't mean you can't use your tickets. I think it's really just about not wanting to cause a bigger stir than absolutely necessary. It's just too soon.
George, you want the final word on this one?
I've covered a bunch of Daytonas, and I understand regional pride. I've lived and worked in the South. I just think, given the horrors that took place in Charleston, that any step you can take, I say NASCAR can't do it all at once, but anything they can do to move it along is certainly welcome.
My guests for Three Stories You Should Know have been veteran sports writer and author George Vesey and Rob Nyer, who's senior baseball editor for Fox Sports. Rob, thanks very much.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And George, a pleasure to have you with us again. Thank you.
Anytime, man. Thank you.